Welcome to Land Academy.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack and Jill here.
Hey.
Welcome to the show today. In this episode, Jill and I talk about the differences between the East Coast and the West Coast with real estate investing. Man, they're different. We do lots of deals in both places, and we'll talk about what's a little bit different for us.
It's kind of funny because you're East Coast and I'm West Coast.
I know. Opposites don't attract, trust me. We'll get into that in a second.
All right.
I don't think we're opposite at all.
Okay.
I think what drives us is exactly the same.
Okay.
Before we get into all that, though, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Good save. Billy asks, I'm in negotiations on my first deal, so please bear with me. I'm negotiating at my own pace, and she keeps coming to me with lower offers, although still not low enough. Her latest offer is 10 acres for $5,000, and she'll pay the $1,700 in back taxes from the $5,000. She said that's a good deal based on the assessor's value.
She's wrong.
I need to get her down to $3,000. How would you explain to a seller that the assessor's value is no indication of our property's market value?
Just like that.
Also, what's an efficient way to find land comps?
So let's take this one at a time. When somebody is negotiating with themselves, like this person, where she says, I'll take $5,000 with, and then $1,700 of back taxes, and then they come back and say, and you say no, and they come back and say, oh, all right, I'll pay the back taxes if you give me the $5,000. And you say, no, I already gave you an offer on my, when I sent it out, it was $3,000. Right. And she comes back and says, well, will you take four? And so what they're doing is negotiating with themselves. And I'm here to tell you, 15, almost 16,000 transactions later, they're going to sell you this property.
Right.
There's been certain situations where I was directly involved years ago in negotiations like this. And I said, you know what? If you call me one more time, I'm not going to buy your property. So in this conversation that we're going to have, I'm going to tell you that I'm going to pay $3,000 for it. And you're going to say yes or no. And 9 times out of 10, they say yes.
No, I love it.
Jill's just like, whatever, Jack.
That was a little rant there. I'm actually stepped aside. I am not in your way.
Here's why it was a rant. I hate negotiating. I sent you an offer for $3,000. Sign it and send it back.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, negotiating.
I didn't know there was $1,700 in back taxes on it. Now the offer's $2,000.
We're not negotiating because I hold all the cards because I have the money.
Yes.
I'm either going to buy it or I'm not going to buy it.
Jill, thank you.
It's not up to you whether or not I buy your property.
Hey, seller. Just say yes or no.
Yeah.
I don't care about your children.
And we're not going to talk about it. We're going to move on.
And it's too bad that you don't like the person you're married to, but that's not why we're here.
And I don't mean to be mean, but there's a time and a place to say, you know what? If this isn't for you, that's fine. I got three more just like it that I'm about to return those calls.
Exactly.
And you don't want to say it and be snotty about it, but that's the reality.
Yesterday or the day before, we were talking about, you know, oh boy, we'll never do that deal, a good deal like that again. So what ends up happening, and I really think that if you're brand new at this, you really got to look at them in the mirror and repeat this over and over again.
I like myself. I am a good
Jack,
person.
Repeat this. Jack, it's not that bad. That's you right. Really are smart.
It's a new day.
And gosh darn it, people like you.
You got this.
Hey, Tony Robbins.
here's my real mantra in the morning. Hang in there, one more day. Yeah. No, just kidding.
It's almost the weekend.
That's right. He didn't really mean it. It's not you. It's the situation.
It's not you that he's mad at. It's the situation.
This is how I do business.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
So you open that right up. Oh,
we just turned a rant into like something fun.
I got tears in my eyes, Jack. Okay.
The fact is this situation, the reason that we're both ranting about it is because we've both been through it 7 million times.
Right.
You know, to buy 15 and sell 15,000 properties, you know, we were in negotiation with probably eight to 10 times that many. So,
man,
I don't have time for people negotiating with themselves or there's always another deal. Just look in the mirror and say that. Just forget it. Walk away. There's another deal.
I'm very comfortable telling people, this is it. Think about it. Sleep on it. Call me tomorrow. We're not going to talk about this for 20 minutes on the phone. Yeah. You need to go back and do whatever you got to do. Talk to whoever you got to talk to. I don't really care. If you're interested, call me. If not, I'm good. And that's it.
And then there's a few places to answer your final question here. What's the most efficient way to find land comps or comparison values? The absolute best way is a data set that you purchased in the first place. If you're a member with us, you know, through a subscription, there's one of the columns in that data set is completed sales. And so you'll see what that person bought it for. There's varying levels of accuracy on the data. Some counties, the more urban the county is, the better the data is in general. So that's the first place. Then the second place is Redfin, a great online free tool. And then if you really want to get into it and you know a realtor, you can check MLS completed sales, but those are only as good as the real estate agent who didn't graduate from high school and how well they how well they input the data when they're
you don't need a high school diploma to be a real estate agent.
I have never. No, you don't.
Really, I didn't.
No.
Oh, I guess not. You're
I've
right.
never seen a real estate agent who was motivated at all after they got a commission check, and so that's when they're supposed to take it off the MLS and put the data in and all that, and it never happens.
Don't even get me started on boat brokers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Anyway.
If you have a question or you'd like to be on the show, reach out to either one of us on landinvestors.com. Today's topic, the differences between buying and selling real estate on the East Coast versus the West Coast. This is the meat of the show. What do you think, Joe? Getting back to the original thing.
Yes.
I think we're a lot more similar than you think.
Oh, because you're from the East Coast and I'm from the West Coast? Yes, because you know what? You were apparently born and raised in the wrong part of the country. Because you are... Yeah, no one's ever fit in like you, Jack. Come on. You get it. You get it. You know what's so funny? Here's the truth about you. You are innately wannabe a hippie just like me.
That's true.
You don't want to work. You don't want to put a suit on. You don't want to do
That's
all that.
True.
You don't want to work for 60 hours and go, I put in 60 hours this week and brag about it. That's not you. But
yeah, I want to be in control of my own time.
Right.
I don't want to have to report to somebody. All the normal stuff.
So you have a lot of innate West Coast qualities, and that's one of the reasons I love you.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I didn't know it was going to go this way.
Thank you. What's funny is... You have this, there's a little piece of you where the East Coast jumps in when you go, well, that can't be right. Like some of the ways that we do and trust people and things like, well, okay, here you go. I'll let you have my car and I'll get the $5,000 from you tomorrow, right? Right. Okay, yeah. Good. Thank you.
It's not going to fly.
You go, what the heck? I'm like, but they wrote an IOU. And you're like, oh, and I know where they live. You're like, yeah, right. Like they really live there. And they're going to follow through on that. You know, there's some trust and some weird things that we do that you go, the East Coast and you goes, this can't be right.
So let's talk. That's exactly right. But anyway, enough about us.
Okay, sorry.
No, let's talk good stuff.
Well, maybe that ties into the way why East Coast is different and West Coast too.
There's Here's a big
weird
difference
things that
in
are
my
different.
Opinion. There's the big difference is Jill just nailed it on one of these points. That there's people in the East Coast and people on the West Coast are very different. There's a different culture. You know, it might as well be France and England, mm-hmm. as far as I'm concerned. There's things that concern buyers and sellers on both parts of the country that are incredibly different. So there's an underlying rule, and this is on the East Coast now, not even in the Rust Belt where I'm from, where you have to clash and quarrel in the beginning and yell before you can become friends. That does not happen on the West Coast in any way. On the West Coast, people are like, they're checking to see if they're cool. They're taking the temperature of what's going to be a relationship, and the first thing they do is try to outdo each other to be nice.
Yeah, it's
really
true.
Like, if you can picture two people at a stop sign, and one's trying to let the other one go in first, and the other person is saying, no, no, you go
you
first.
Go. You go. No, you go. And then we're in the intersection. Beep, beep. You each four because you're like, somebody just go.
That's the underlying culture out here. And on the East Coast, it's a middle finger. Everybody's middle finger goes straight up. and then they lay on the horn. So real estate deals are no different. And then they're best friends after that. So... Or maybe not, but it's just that's the way it is, you know. In the middle of the country, farm in the Midwest, the Rust Belt Midwest, the underlying system is who's suffering more. The person who's suffering the most in the deal is the one who is going to win. It's really, really, really strange. And Jill's right. I prefer the West Coast way of doing things, where we're all in this together, and let's put a deal together where we both win. Mm-hmm. The East Coast, now let's put a deal together so that I'm going to screw you so that you're half dead.
Well, here's the other thing, too. Well, the East Coast way is there's so many rules and regulations.
That was my next point.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
That's okay. Okay. The other thing that's real different about East and West is the rules.
Yeah.
So there's lawyers involved in a lot of stuff, and specifically in New York.
And if you really look into some of the laws and statutes, they are technically not required, but they've just made it that way that everybody assumes that that's the way it has to be done.
So the escrow, if you research the history of escrow and title insurance and stuff, it was created in California, like a lot of things were created in California, because the way that it was done in the East Coast, because the East Coast is older, is stupid.
It's stupid to
have a lawyer close your real estate deal.
Love it.
So let's create this thing called escrow agent, and we don't, because it's the same thing. We all go to the county. We get it.
It's not related third party.
Yeah,
it's fine.
There's no smoke and mirrors, Mr. Lawyer.
There's some procedures. We make sure we check all the boxes.
Doesn't cost $5,000 to buy.
Everybody's
property.
Best interests are taken into consideration. Love
and
it.
As sure as I'm sitting here. The same thing's going to happen with real estate agents. Somebody, and it's probably going to be us, will come up with a system, ours is already done, to do away with a real estate agent in your transaction. It's right out of 1953. It's silly.
Yes, it is.
To pay 6% to sell your house. It's insane.
You should keep that money.
It's $20,000 on a $300,000 house.
Yeah.
On a $3 million house, it's $200,000.
It's crazy.
So, and $3 million is not out of the question in Los Angeles by any stretch. There's lots of people buy and sell $3 million houses every day.
Right.
And write a $300,000 check. That personally disgusts me.
I know.
So it used to be that way when you bought and sold real estate. You had to have a lawyer. And somebody came up with a great idea called escrow. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're going to, my point is, if you're going to invest on the East Coast, be prepared and don't fight this stuff. Embrace it. And utilize it and make sure you win.
Well, I want to add, so we talked about East Coast versus West Coast, the way the people are different. And then we talked about East Coast, West Coast, about the how the transactions are different, you know. And then I want to talk about the properties. Will you please talk about that, Jack, about East Coast, West Coast?
The actual real estate?
Yeah, because that's an important thing that comes up for a lot of our people, like, where should I begin investing? Okay, I get all that, what you're talking about. Now let's talk about the properties. Why is it easier to do this? And maybe the pricing's easier to understand or lower or whatever you want, East Coast versus West Coast.
Sure, so philosophically, because the East Coast is older, all of this is rooted in the fact that the East Coast is generally older than the West Coast. Top property taxes are way more expensive per square foot, East versus West. There's some, you know, Los Angeles, there's some markets there where you can say, no, that's not the case. And that's true. But in general, that's the case. Jill and I have a townhouse that we bought during the downturn in Scottsdale, Arizona. And the property taxes are $637 a year. I mean, and this is a really nice place right in Old Town Scottsdale. Mm-hmm. The property taxes in the house that we live in California at the beach are close to $6,000 a month. And the square footage is not wildly that different.
No, exactly.
So
proximity to the water is a little different, but
so, you know, And then I've heard people, the property taxes, by the way, the highest property tax market on the, in the world, I think, is New Jersey. So, and who the hell wants to live in New Jersey? Mm-hmm. No, nobody. Unless you live, work in New York, and then that's your problem.
Oh my gosh. Oh boy. These posters. What the heck?
Just made myself laugh.
That's hilarious. Oh my gosh.
So, in general, the value of real estate is directly tied to its demand, right? Is there a lot of demand in Kansas for land? Yeah, because you can grow stuff there.
Farmland, yeah.
Is there a lot of demand for property that people may argue, like in, let's say, northern Arizona, people might argue that the use for that property is fairly limited, mostly due to water, lack of water, which I would argue because we can drill down to anything now, but whatever. So that's, you know, you have to really kind of look at all those things before you decide where you want to, where you'd like to invest. Mm-hmm. What I look for about where I'm going to send out offers is the variance in price. Those huge variances in price are a great thing. Wherever there's turmoil, there's money to be made. That's a rule in the world. Unfortunately. So, I guess I've ranted enough about this, Jill. I mean, the different types of property, you know, I don't think that it's that different at all. I love really low days on market property. So, where are you?
Do you find this? Here's my question. Do you find that people have more difficulty analyzing data and pricing for Upper East Coast versus Southwest?
Southwest. No, I think it's, for me, it's the exact same process.
You don't find okay.
Exactly the same process. Every single place in the country.
Okay.
I look at it exactly the same way. I look at days on market, how fast properties are buying and selling. I look at the variance in pricing, for either for sale property or completed sales.
You know what I think it is? There's more room out here than there is back there.
Exactly.
Well, maybe no, you think there's that there's something there to that. Okay.
Yeah, if you look at, so here's an interesting fact. If you look at like a county map for, I don't know, any state on the east, and you look at a county map, there's only 13 counties in Arizona, 13 or 17. But if you look at like, I don't know, Michigan or anywhere back east, there's just a tremendous number of counties, and it's all based on automobiles. So a county seat, back then it was all horse and carriage, where you could go, if you could ride a horse for one day and get to the next county seat. So there's a lot more
counties. That's what it was?
Yeah. And so Arizona grew up in the 70s, where, you know, everybody had a car with air conditioning.
Right.
It grew up, Arizona grew up around air conditioning, the development of air conditioning. So did Nevada. So, you know, there's totally different cultures.
Right.
Used to be that people that lived west were getting away from something that they screwed up in the east. That's why they moved out here.
Yeah, I firmly believe that.
So do I.
I agree. Yeah, we're out of here.
Yeah. Let's go recreate ourselves in San Francisco.
Exactly.
San Francisco had that relationship. That it's not that way anymore. Now it's all Silicon Valley. But if you can't make it in New York, move to San Francisco.
And
that was
funny.
a whole thing back in the 50s and 60s.
It's so funny. Why does the East Coast still think West Coast are a bunch of nuts?
You know, I think there was some hippie truth to that in the 60s and 70s and maybe even the 80s. But with the internet and Silicon Valley and all that and Bill Gates and, you know, I just think that it's just simply not true any longer.
That's what you and I know to be true.
Right.
Because we're here and you've lived in both places. But it's so funny to me that people that we know and the family members that we have that are on the East Coast that's, you know, like, you guys are nuts. Nobody gets anything done out there. You're in LA, big deal. You know, and then we're like, you guys have no idea what's here and what really goes on. And
my dad was born in the 30s and this is a conversation I had with him recently. He said, why would I ever want to come to California, ever? There's a bunch of hippies there. It's all liberal. And my response was this. I've never met more intelligent, thought kinder, more successful, financially successful, and education for their kids and the whole thing. Schools are fantastic out here, by the way. In my life, every place I've lived, than Los Angeles. And that's the truth.
I'm glad.
So forget about right or left. I don't care about that. I'm just saying, there's very intelligent, family-oriented people who are incredibly successful, mm-hmm. specifically in real estate. And then, I mean, within 2 miles of where we live, Northrop's here. There's Chevron's here, SpaceX. Toyota, Honda. I mean, and on and on and on.
Boeing
Huge
stuff.
Boeing's here. Uh-huh. So it's not, you know, if the California economy, this is not a commercial Google. For California. If it was the economy itself was a country, if California was a country, its economy would be number 9 in the world.
Thank you.
So there's a lot of stuff going on here. And I people back east, I don't know. I've asked people over throughout my professional career that live back there. I'm like, why don't you pack your stuff up and come out here? Whatever you're doing, it's a lot easier
yeah.
and a lot more fun.
And the weather's better.
And their answer is always the same. My family's here. Or, where would I get my dry cleaning done?
That's the funniest thing. I love that
so
answer.
So that just tells me, like, you know what? You
whatever.
Should probably actually stay there. Because
yeah.
if you can't figure your dry cleaning out, this is going to be a mess.
Exactly.
Anyway, they're real different. Embrace the differences. Don't fight them. And if investing in New Jersey doesn't work for you, just keep moving west and vice versa. If investing in Nevada seems silly to you, keep moving east.
Love it.
Join us in the next episode where we discuss self-confident offer campaign pricing.
Oh,
I wrote that title. I like it.
And we answer Matt's question about how to build a buyer's list. Love it.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
That was good. That was long.
Was it?
Yeah, I felt long.
Oh, ranty.
It was ranty.
Sorry.
No, but I like it because I wanted to cover all the different things, East Coast, West Coast, because it comes up, you know, and this pricing thing that we're going to do coming up is going to be good too.
I love it.
Because this is the thing between East Coast and West Coast. I talk about people, they're like, oh, it's much easier and cheaper, whatever. I'm like, or they think that there's a difference in the way that we do our business, whether it's East Coast and West Coast. And when I tell them, and really sit down and think about this, the concept is the same. The numbers are different. Whether you're investing in Manhattan, New York, or Manhattan Beach, California.
That's right, Jill.
You know, it's the same concept. Those are probably priced similar, but anyway.
Yeah, actually, it might be.
Yeah, how about, okay, whether you're
there's
buying
just as much opportunity in
Riverside,
places.
California.
Right.
How's that? And Manhattan, New York. It's the same concept. So, thank you. Hey, like our show? Please subscribe and rate us on iTunes or wherever you are listening.
Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cashflow from Land Show. We are the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price, just so we can flip it for way more.
And really fast. Thanks for listening. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.